We are talking to Kate Beaton-Felton, member of the Eau Claire City Council. She's also with Citizen Action Wisconsin. And we've been talking a bit about Eau Claire's ban on so-called conversion therapy, targeting LGBTQ youth, in light of La Crosse considering a similar ban, which a right-wing legal group is threatening to sue the city over. So we've covered a lot about the genesis of it. And as I tried to look during the break just to see, you know, what has been said either at a federal level or a state level, and you see a lot of effort, but again, it runs into, you know, this opposition from the right wing. I noted that the Minnesota legislature was not able to move their bill forward after a Minneapolis Democrat who is gay attempted a parliamentary maneuver to force the bill out of committee. It got a majority, but it would have required a supermajority, and so it fell short there. And I see that there have been bills, you know, introduced in Congress as well. In Minnesota, the governor there, Democrat Tim Walz, has put out an executive order banning it, but that doesn't have the same as, you know, the rule. It doesn't have the same force of law as a statute on the books. But, Kate, is that situation any different in Wisconsin? Is that something that is in a governor's power to do, or is it something where all the focus really should be on changing hearts and minds in the legislature?
Yeah, truthfully, I'm not very familiar with the powers of the governor when it comes to this situation. But I think as we've seen in the state and certainly on the federal level, we know that executive orders have their limitations, and a law that the legislature votes on is always going to be more permanent and more have more teeth. And so I think it's certainly a matter of changing hearts and minds in the legislature. I think it's a matter of really making sure that we're electing new legislators that have a value for protecting our children against harm. I think that's really where this fight is.
I think that values debate is a good one to have, because it's not only about how we treat, you know, a certain segment of the population, but how we treat each other. As you know, a member of Citizen Action, you are focused on healthcare and the more than 10-year delay by Republicans to expand Badger Care to provide health insurance coverage to more families. You're involved in climate efforts, which again say something about your values. You know, do you value the planet or not? And as we've talked to so many candidates, and we've talked to other of what I call democracy's little helpers, you know, with groups like Citizen Action and others. This changing of hearts and minds, it happens only one conversation at a time, but those conversations can be mighty fulfilling and productive if you can just hold enough of them.
Right. Yeah, I think overall, especially in an election year right now, we have elections on the mind and this opportunity to make some real changes in our legislature to switch the value. But I think ultimately, it's an all year thing, to have these conversations with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family, and certainly with our elected legislators, and city, you know, municipal officials, to be having this conversation all year round, not just during election season, to slowly move the needle.
It's one of those things where, again, politicians can use, certain behind the scenes tactics to either get something done or block something. We talked a moment ago about executive orders from a governor and the degree to which they can be effective and the degree to which they can be, you know, overruled or undone by law. The same goes for something called rules. Legislatures don't just pass bills, they pass rules which spell out how certain laws and processes should be followed. And we spoke last hour about this, how the legislature set aside rules that would ban conversion therapy on the same day that they prohibited rules that would have strengthened groundwater standards against PFAS, against so-called industrial chemicals. And Kate, when I was talking to you earlier about what the Eau Claire City Council has done over the years to try to look out for people, another one of those things was a living wage or a $15 an hour wage, which, again, you would think a city council can decide what to do within their borders, but then it was undone by Republicans who passed a state law banning it. And it really does make you wonder on all of these things, whatever happened to that party that once told us they were all about local control?
Right. And, you know, as I see what's happening in our country and in our state, as a city council member, I think to myself, like, I have control, a piece of control over what happens in my city. And I'm going to just focus on that. And we have done some incredible things in Eau Claire, and time again, what we've done, the legislature has come in and said, no, you can't do that. We have answered the call of our citizens to protect our water, protect our kids, to protect our workers by including a minimum a living wage. These are things that our constituents are asking for, and we did them for them. And the legislature said, no, we can't do that. And that is so incredibly frustrating as a local elected official. And I think it's something that our legislators, our state legislators, and predominantly our Republican legislators need to answer for.
And because they don't, and because they're not properly allocating resources, I note again, they are sitting on a $4 to $5 billion surplus right now, you on the city council are forced to go hat in hand to the voters this fall.
Yeah, we are actually asking the voters to increase their own taxes this year in a referendum to support protective services, so that when somebody calls an EMT, that EMT will show up in time before somebody has a medical emergency or dies. When somebody's house is burning down, the firefighters come in time before the house burns down to the ground. And so these are things that should be basic for a city, that our state should be supporting our cities in a very basic way, that so that our cities can be safe. But they're not. They're sitting on the surplus of billions of dollars and squeezing cities from end to end and creating budget emergencies all across the state. Unfortunately, we have to take it to referendum and ask the voters to increase their own taxes for that.
And remember, there are those folks who will say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to pay more for something, then you should ask the taxpayers. But keep this part in mind. You're asking people to increase their own taxes when the state is sitting on, when legislative Republicans are sitting on billions of dollars of your money. That's not money that magically appeared. The whole reason there's a state budget surplus is that as the economy's picking up, as Governor Evers has, used federal assistance in targeted ways, that's license fees, that's business taxes, that's all manner of permits, those things that we've all put money into that already. And legislative Republicans are sitting on it, squandering it. I continue to call it a heist, because if they win the governorship, then next year they'll just give it all out in the form of tax breaks to corporations and the wealthy, and not put it to work nearly the way that they could, which is awfully ironic when you talk about protective services, Kate, given that this is, the party that talks all the time about, backing the blue and law and order. And, we just need Rebecca Clefish was promising, how many more cops that were going to go on the street. And yet at the same time, you're starving local governments. So, I mean, I really understand the frustration. And come next year, if Tim Michaels wins, I'm sorry to drag you into a governor's race here, but how much even more different could it be for cities like Eau Claire?
Right. Yeah. I think we'll see, like you said, we'll see this surplus dwindle as it's being given away to our state's most advantaged and privileged people. We'll continue to see, at the very best, we'll continue to see no change, and cities, head towards bankruptcy, which is happening now. It's just sort of a matter of time until something changes. And at worst, this problem gets, this problem of squeezing these budgets get worse and worse, and more severe. And, I think I have seen, I can only speak for the city of Eau Claire, I've seen over the last 6 years, our city staff expertly find ways to make our budget work without reducing services. But we've gotten to a point where we can't do that anymore. The trajectory of our budget is making it so that there's literally nothing else to make more efficient or ways to cut the fat off. There's no other room. And we're gonna have to start reducing services. And certainly, you know, we're talking about protective services, but that also means things like plowing the roads. Maybe, you know, we're not able to plow the roads when it snows 3 inches in the winter. Maybe it means street sweeping and we, you know, there's gravel all over the road, or mowing, you know, mowing our parks, and they sort of become in disarray. And so these are the things that we really take advantage of as citizens of a city and towns. But these are the things that are really going to fall by the wayside when cities have to finally start to reduce our services because of this budget emergency.
That's right. You remind me that Eau Claire, 1 or 2 or 3 winters ago, whenever it was, or maybe it's perpetual. We now talk about what is a limit at which we're just not going to plow the roads, you know, when we normally came to expect that. Is there a current line right now, you know, below which the streets of Eau Claire aren't plowed, but they used to be?
I don't know the exact line. I think it's like 1 or 2 inches. Mm-hmm. So certainly, you know, we've seen snowstorms where it's a little dusting and there's no plowing that's going on. But certainly we've had to have conversations where we're adjusting it based on the budget situation. And I think, you know, that's the kind of thing where, you know, where is the line where we have to, you know, adjust that line in order to save money? Is it 6 inches, right? Can you imagine it snowing 6 inches and no plows on the road? And so these are the kind of decisions that cities are already making because of this issue.
And by the way, before people call that some kind of a first world problem, an inch of snow just makes so much more likely the accidents that happen as people slide through intersections, as you're not going through and either removing the snow or doing sanding and salting, all because, again, you've got a, you know, political class that says that, you know, less government is better all the time, no matter what, no matter how much you complain, there's always something else to cut because it can always be privatized. Let's turn to, I hope, some happier news to close things out. We began by talking about conversion therapy that targets LGBTQ youth. It is tragic, and it deserves every effort to try to ban it. To try to end on a more hopeful note, as we come off of another Pride Month this June, where again the Pride flag and the Progress Pride flag flew over the state capitol, where we see it flying much more frequently, no longer just in June and beyond. Are you encouraged by strides being made in Wisconsin in terms of acceptance and diversity, or am I talking up things that are just cosmetic and window dressing? How do you assess whether we're making progress or not?
Yeah, I mean, as much as we're seeing the legislature not make progress in this area, I think that we are seeing our culture making progress. Just and we're seeing that in the way that people in the LGBTQ community can be living as their true selves. They can be loving whoever they want, you know, with less fear than they had 10 or 20 years ago. Right, that's something that we can see with our own eyes. And we all know, you know, we can feel this culture shifting. And I think that that is what is scaring people like and institutions like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. But our culture is shifting, and culture precedes policy, right? Culture directs our policy. And so I think it's only a matter of time that we'll see the policy follow this culture shift.
Yeah, I think that you never... Sadly, you know, if you look back at Archie Bunker and all of the family and what we have for conditions today, it seems like an impossible dream to ever completely get rid of bigotry or racism, but at least try to reduce the incidents where it has the upper hand. Kate, you also work with Citizen Action. You talk about working on healthcare and climate. So on those issues as well, as you've talked to people, do you also feel like we're moving in a better direction?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, you know, I'm a climate organizer at my heart. Certainly I'm passionate about the healthcare issue too, but the climate issue, I've seen strides in progress in our cultural acceptance of climate change and the need to address climate change.
So and we see, we do see so much now in the Inflation Reduction Act that just passed as well. Kate Beaton-Felton, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a great day. We will be back to wrap up this hour's conversation after this. You're up north.